Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Translation. Only by providence have I been forcibly brought under your lotus feet and deprived of all my opulence. Because of the illusion created by temporary opulence, people in general who live under material conditions, facing accidental death at every moment, do not understand that this life is temporary. Only by providence have I been saved from that condition. Purport. Bali Maharaj appreciated the actions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although all the members of the demoniac families, except Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj, considered Vishnu their eternal traditional enemy, as described by Bali Maharaj, Lord Vishnu was actually not the enemy of the family, but the best friend of the family. The principle of this friendship has already been stated. Yasya aham anugrinnami harishye taddhanam shanai. The Lord bestows special favor upon His devotees by taking away all His material opulences. Bali Maharaj appreciated this behavior by the Lord. Therefore he said, Devena nita prasabham tyajita shri. It is to bring me to the right platform of eternal life that you have put me into these circumstances. Actually, everyone should fear the so-called society, friendship and love for which he works so hard all day and night, as indicated by Bali Maharaj by the words Janad Bhita. Every devotee in Krishna consciousness should always be afraid of the common man engaged in pursuing material prosperity. Such a person is described as Pramatta, a madman chasing the will o' the wisp. Such men do not know that after the hard struggle of life, one must change his body, with no certainty of what kind of body he will receive next. Those who are completely established in Krishna conscious philosophy, and who therefore understand the aim of life, will never take to the activities of the materialistic dog race. But if a sincere devotee somehow does fall down, the Lord corrects him and saves him from gliding down to the darkest region of hellish life. Adanta gobhir vishadam tamishram punah punascharvita charvananam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30. The materialistic way of life is nothing but the repeated chewing of that which has already been chewed. Although there is no profit in such life, people are enamored for it because of uncontrolled senses. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. Because of uncontrolled senses, people fully engage in sinful activities by which they get a body full of suffering. Bali Maharaj appreciated how the Lord had saved him from such a bewildered life of ignorance. He therefore said that his intelligence had been shunned, stunned. Stabdhamatir nabuddhyate. He could not understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead favors His devotees by forcibly stopping their materialistic activities. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhyahevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha
नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासति गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
So once there was a sage who went to a village, and the villagers were very excited that, you know, such a great personality has come to their village. So the head of the village organized a sabha somewhere where the sage would come and speak and address the assembly. So as soon as the sage came on the stage, he started speaking. The first thing he said was, how many of you believe in God? So everyone raised their hands, you know, all pious villagers. So the sage said, I had come here to help you and show you that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead and make you believe in God. But I see that you already believe in God, so I don't need to speak. And he went back to his hermitage. So everyone was, you know, bewildered, and the head of the village again went to the sage and said, please, you know, come again. We are very honored to have you, so please come and speak. So this time the villagers talked among themselves and they said, okay, we know what to do. Now no one raises their hands. So the sage again, he came and he asked, how many of you believe in God? This time no one raised their hands. And the sage said, I came here to talk about God. And if none of you believe in God, there's no point of me speaking. So he went back to his hermitage. Everyone, all the effort and labor that goes into organizing a festival, you know, the sage comes, he speaks, and he goes off. No one gets anything. So they talked amongst themselves, and now they had a new plan. So the head of the village again went to the sage and said, look, we're very happy to have you here. Please come and address the villagers. So the sage came a third time, and he asked, how many of you believe in God? What do you think happened? Half of the assembly put their hand up, and the other half kept it down, hoping that now he would speak. But he said, here I came to help you have faith in God. So what I'll do, those who have faith in God and who believe in God, please convince those who don't have faith in God. And he went off. So this sage was speaking in the assembly of very simple villagers, and he didn't want to speak like that. But here I see there's all the elite members of Bhaktivedanta Manor's community. So I'd like to seek the blessings of all those present here so that I may be able to share something. I'm in no position to be able to speak in front of you all, but by the blessings and instructions of the senior devotees and my mentor, I've been given this opportunity to please be kind and bless me. So this verse and the purport that we've discussed today is really loaded with so many topics and so many points Prabhupada addresses in this purport. So I've prepared something, and I'll try to cover whatever I can, but please forgive me if I fall short. The first thing that Prabhupada says, the first sentence, is that in the demoniac races, they have a tradition that follows since time immemorial. They have a tradition that they're all meant to follow. And that tradition is that Vishnu is your enemy. They're taught from very birth that whatever you do in life, life is to make the most of it. And remember one thing, Vishnu is your greatest enemy. Yeah? So many demons have worked very hard and tried to achieve their very cherished goal of defeating Vishnu or killing Vishnu. But none have succeeded. So I wanted to say something about this. In the Bhagavad Gita or in the Vishnu Puran, there is a definition of a demon, the definition of a devotee. Do bhuta sarga lokesmin deva asura evacha Vishnu bhakta smrito deva asurastad viparyaya. Vishnu bhakta smrito deva. A deva is one who is a Vishnu bhakta. Asurastad viparyaya means everyone else who doesn't have faith in Vishnu or doesn't believe that the Supreme is Vishnu is categorized as an asura. So, the tradition of a demon is stated in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains the demoniac qualities and the mood of a demon. What is he like? What is the understanding of a demon? And how does he live his life? Huh? The verse goes, Idam adyamaya labdham imam prapse manoratham idam astidam apime bhavishyati punardhanam asomaya hata shatrur hanishye chaparam napi ishvaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. Ishvaroham, I am Ishvara. Ishvara means controller. So their main mood is that I myself am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore everything I will do will be for my gratification. Huh? So much wealth do I have today. I've got an X amount of wealth, and I will increase in the future more and more according to my schemes. Krishna talks about the schemes of the demons as well, you know. Well, principally, asomaya hata shatru, so far, whoever I recognized as my enemy, I have killed him. And in the future, whoever goes against me will also be killed. So this is their way of working. These days, you can't really directly kill, but in the mind and by words, demoniac mentality is showing how we try to always put the other person down. So, enjoy by hook or by crook. Jayadutta Swami, he gives the example while he was preaching in Dubai, that the Emirates or the flight Emirates has a saying which says, or has a logo or their slogan, which is continue exploring. And he says how when they advertise Dubai, it's all desert. You know, so they show a camel and, you know, whatever you can see as a beautiful picture of Dubai. And he says how the mood of that slogan is, you've enjoyed in the Bahamas, you've enjoyed in New York, why not try something new? Come and enjoy in the desert. Huh? So generally, a desert is like the worst place to be. But they're propagating that actually even in the desert you can find enjoyment. Huh? So those who are looking for enjoyment will think, well, if they are saying it, there must be some enjoyment there. So come to the desert and see how you can enjoy. And we know Dubai is like the first or the main principal man-made city. Everything's artificial. And many people I've talked to, they really like going to Dubai. But anyhow, the mood is, come and enjoy. Wherever you want, there is enjoyment, and so you come and enjoy. So Bali Maharaj is not really interested in this tradition. This tradition that has been going on in his family, he is rejecting. So I found it very interesting how Shukracharya, in his teachings to Bali, has taught him that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Together with that, he's been teaching him how he can defeat the demons. So, if you try to put the two together, it seems that they might be worshipping Vishnu as well, the demons. However, they're going against the law that has been set by Lord Vishnu. Kapiladev, in his teachings to his mother Devahuti, he says that those who worship the deity but who do not see me as the super soul of other living entities, their worship I don't really accept. That is the very basic kind of worship, or a very low platform of worship. So I just found that interesting, how Shukracharya's teaching is, on one hand, are saying that Vishnu is the supreme, and he tells Bali Maharaj, you know, Vishnu is the supreme and everything should be offered to him. But on the other hand, he's going against the very teachings or the principles set by Vishnu, and he's telling them to defeat the demons, the demigods, and overtake their property. So, coming back to this point of tradition, the Ramayana also shows, and Valmiki in many parts of the Ramayana shows this principle of tradition using two words. First is Sanskriti. It comes from the word Sanskar. Sanskriti is culture. And the other is Vikriti. Vikriti is basically the opposite of Sanskriti. And the key example we have of the whole principle of Vikriti is a vulture. So, something we can remember: culture and vulture. These are two explanations of how traditions come about. So, the demons have their culture or their traditions, and the demigods, they have their traditions as well. One is called Sanskriti and the other is Vikriti. The principle that governs culture is talked about in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Sri Krishna. He says that when Arjuna asks him in the second chapter, that what is the characteristic of a person who has attained perfection, the first opening line that Krishna says is, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan atmannevatmanatushya sita pragyasta docchate. Prajahati yada kaman. This person does not work on the platform of sense gratification. He is not running to satisfy his desires. In another place, in the fourth chapter, Krishna says, Yasya sarve samarambha kama sankalpa varjita jnanagni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. A pandita is one whose every endeavor is devoid of the desire for sense gratification. So this principle of selflessness is the bottom line principle determining a devotee and a demon. One is selfless and the other is selfish. So, in the Ramayana, while explaining these two principal cities, Ayodhya and Lanka, Valmiki very intelligently and very amazingly describes them. And if you analyze the two descriptions, you will see where there is Sanskriti and where there is Vikriti. In the beginning, when he describes Ayodhya, he describes how every person is peaceful there. Every person is very harmoniously working according to his position in society. He describes the weather. There is no extreme climatic conditions. He describes the serene environment. You know, the birds are chirping. Like this, he's showing what is happening in Ayodhya. And then he describes Lanka. In Lanka, he says, there are beautiful palaces. It's a golden city. So he describes the palaces are made of the top class marble, the top, you know, quality gold. He describes amazingly the vehicles, the cars, the vehicles that these demons use, and how there is a lot of, not noise, but a lot of things happening. There's a lot of mode of passion is prevalent in Sri Lanka. So it's interesting. Firstly, he describes Ayodhya, and in Ayodhya, he doesn't mention how beautiful, how big the palace is of Dashrath. He doesn't mention what type of chariots and what type of vehicles they drive or they travel in. But he describes the people. The mode and the mood of the people of Ayodhya. Peace. And harmony with nature. This is what Ayodhya is. And in the Lanka, there is passion. There is beautiful buildings. And not much mention of the people of Lanka. Yeah? So we always have this conflict between personalism and impersonalism. Sanskriti or culture is personalism, where we look at the person and we try to develop relationship with people, and according to the directions of scripture, we can discriminate. Whereas Vikriti is self aggrandizement, is what do I have, what can I become, and not really thinking of the other. Krishna says the demon is willing to kill his opponent, no matter who he is. Prabhupada gives the example of people killing their mothers, people killing their brothers for, you know, personal gratification. In this world, the unfortunate situation is that the children are killing their mothers and the mothers are killing the children. Slaughtering of the cows is probably the biggest business. Everyone is looking to wear her, everyone's looking to eat her, and there's no care. And our small effort of, you know, 35, 40 cows is the foremost center of cow protection. 40 cows. You can imagine the difference. And then the mother is killing the child. We were discussing how abortion is promoted in this world. Contraceptives are promoted in this world. If you don't want the child, get rid of him. No problem. So this is promoted and this is taught. So culture is a very personal thing, and vulture, or this bird vulture, the vulture, he's known to attack its prey when it is vulnerable. So for example, the vulture is a very big bird, but wherever there is carcasses or a dead body, you'll very quickly see a vulture in the sky, because they can sense dead bodies. And even in the animal kingdom, there are some animals that won't eat unless they kill. For example, the lion, he'll eat its own prey. But the vulture is besharam, or there is no shame. The vulture will go anywhere and steal and eat the other's works. So that is very impersonal. Not considering the other person, just going for personal gratification. The residents of Ayodhya, they leave their beautiful palace. They do have opulence, and every person is satisfied. But as soon as they hear that Ram is going to leave, they leave all their opulence and they run behind Ram. There's no backpacks and people coming with carts. They leave everything and they run behind Ram, because their happiness is with Ram. श्री राधा गोकुलानंद की जय, सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान जी की जय, गौरनिताय की जय. देयर हैप्पीनेस इज विद राम एंड नो मैटर हाउ मच यू कैन गिव देम, हाउ मच ऑपुलेंस दे हैव, दे आर नॉट सेटिस्फाइड बिकॉज दे सी दैट ऑपुलेंस इज ओनली एन एक्सटर्नल थिंग. And they live, they go, they are happy to live in the forest with Ram. And when Ram does trick them and he leaves them aside, they have to go back to Ayodhya. For the next 14 years, it is said that no one lights a lamp. There is total, it's like a ghost town. Everyone is doing whatever they have to do just to maintain their life. Why? Because in 14 years, Lord Ram is going to come back. And when he does come back, then there is life again in Ayodhya. But otherwise, without Ram, they're not interested. Ram, in the forest, he spent 13 years with Lakshman and with Sita Devi, and there was no problem. Sita Devi experienced no discomfort whatsoever. She was happy living in the forest. But Ravana, he had all the pleasures of this world. He had everything you can desire, or even a materialist can desire. But continuously he was living a life of dissatisfaction. As soon as Suparnaka tells him about Sita, immediately he's out to get her. Whereas in the forest, Lord Ram, Sita, Lakshman, they're happy living in a hut and eating fruits and roots. Another thing Prabhupada talks about in the purport and in the text 10 as well is association, and how a devotee is fearful of the association of a materialist. Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction, he discusses this. The person is always avoiding bad association, a devotee. Leaving bad association is a sign conducive to self-realization, Rupa Goswami says. And here Prabhupada uses the word asat sangatyag e Vaishnava achar stri sangi e kasadu Krishna bhakta ar. So the sign of a Vaishnava is asat sangatyag. He is far away from bad association. And the good thing about another key quality of a Vaishnava, he is always looking for good association. It's very true, you become who you associate with. So therefore, a spiritualist will make efforts, will do all sorts of sacrifice to come and associate with devotees, or to put himself in an environment where he can associate with devotees, and the materialist will not really think of the principle of association. He will think, if I want to be successful, I want to be materially happy, I associate with those who are like that. So, in the Bhagavatam, the devotee in this world, we are here, so we have to associate with materialists. And the description or the explanation of how we should associate is given. Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu dvishatsucho prema maitrikara kripa upeksha yakaroti samadhyama. That a devotee, he discriminates his association, and understanding that he has to be here in this world, he deals with different people in different ways. Prema, he has great love for Krishna, and also he develops loving relationships with the devotees. Then Maitri, friendship. He has friendship with those who are equal to him, and great respect for those who are senior. Kripa, he has mercy and he feels dutiful to help those who are less fortunate than him or less advanced than him. And then Upeksha means he avoids those who are materialists. So this is how we should also try to discriminate in our different types of association. Prabhupada gives the example of the monkey and the alligator. So this alligator, he says to the monkey, look, I'll give you a ride on my back. You've never been into this river, let me give you a ride. So the monkey is innocent and playful, so he jumps on the back of the alligator. Then the alligator starts going into these remote places, into the depths of this river. So the monkey asks, "Where are you taking me?" And the alligator says, "My wife wanted to eat the heart of a monkey, and therefore, when we get home, I'm gonna offer your heart to this wife of mine." So fortunately, by Krishna's grace, this monkey was very smart, and he said, "Oh, you should have told me before. I don't mind. I'll give you my heart, but I left my heart on the branch of this tree where I was living." So the alligator, being an alligator, said, "Okay, I'll take you back and you go get your heart." So then the alligator takes him back to the tree, and once the monkey is on the tree, you know, he does this monkey business and says, "You're a very foolish person. My heart, how can my heart be on the tree? You know, otherwise how would I live?" So he cheats himself out of the clutches of this alligator. And similarly, we have to remember that our heart is for Krishna. And there's everyone else there who's trying to enjoy our heart. Yesterday, I was in a class, and the Shastras explain that in this world of Adharma, the only place which is free from all adharma is the heart of a devotee. In this world, adharma is even in holy places. We get questions, "Oh, when I go to Vrindavan, well, I'm hassled by so many, you know, pandas, and I'm hassled by the rickshawalas. How do we behave?" So even in holy places, adharma is found. But the only place, I think it is the Samaveda that says, is the heart of the devotee. The heart of the devotee is very soft, just like butter. So we have to guard our heart. You know, everyone's looking for the succulent, you know, beautiful butter, pure, but we have to be careful. So this verse can guide us in our association with devotees. And just before I finish, just wanted to say a few things about Hari. You know, Bali Maharaj is very happy that Krishna has taken everything, you know. And Krishna has very lawfully, or well, it seems to be he cheated Bali, but in a circumstance that Bali was happy to give everything to Krishna. Now sometimes when there is invasion, you feel bad that, you know, I lost because of my weakness, or I lost because of, you know, some sort of fault I made during the war. Kshatriyas face this, and therefore it's very shameful for them. But Bali, he's happy because, hey, I lost giving charity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is no loss or diminution for that. It's actually something to be proud of. I, a living entity, gave charity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's a great honor for a Kshatriya. Being bound with the ropes of Varuni and being standing in front of Vamanadev with his head down is not something Bali is ashamed of. But he's happy. He's happy, and he realizes here in this verse that he thanks Vamanadev for taking away. So Hari has three meanings. Literally Hari means Harayati Sahari, one who takes away. That's anything. That's the literal meaning. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives the meaning of Hari as first Amangala Hare Sahari, one who removes inauspiciousness is Hari. And Prema Diya Hare Man Sahari. Another quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he who gives love and steals away the heart of a devotee is called Hari. So, somewhere in the Ramayana, there is a pastime, or in the untold stories of the Ramayana, there is a pastime of Narada Muni, how when he was doing austerities, Indra sent many apsaras to, you know, deter him from his austerities. And he's Narada Muni, you know, transcendental person. He's not affected at all by these, by the apsaras, and he tells them to go back. And he tells them, look, you tell your Indra that, you know, if I remember correctly, that I'm not someone who's going to fall prey to, you know, lust and things like that. So don't even try, you know, trying to allure my determination in devotional service. So this news of what has happened reaches Lord Vishnu, or reaches Lord Shiva, and then Lord Shiva, you know, he understands that there might be some sort of impurity there. So he tells Narada, Narada, I understand you're a transcendental person, but just make sure you don't tell Vishnu of what has happened. So then Narada thinks, okay, no problem. And he carries on. And on his journey to Vaikuntha, he sees a beautiful kingdom. And in that kingdom, he sees a very righteous and a pious king. So he goes to see the king, and he sees the daughter of this king. Srimati is the name of this daughter. And the king tells him that, you know, very soon I'm planning to have a Swayamvara for my daughter, and I just wanted some blessings, and, you know, I wanted to get blessings for her from you. So then Narada gives his blessings, and in his heart, this he starts to desire being the husband of Srimati. So then anyhow, he travels and he goes to Vaikuntha, and he tells Lord Krishna or Narayan that, please, I have a request to make for all my, you know, I've done so much devotional service to you, and, you know, you're very kind. So I have a small request. If you don't mind, can you give me the form of Hari for one day? So Vishnu asks, you know, why do you want my form for one day? He says, don't worry, you will find out. But just for one day, can I be Hari? So then Narayan says, yes, no problem, so be it. And on the day of the Swayamvara, Narada goes in the assembly, you know, as Hari. And he's very expectant of becoming the groom of this woman, of Srimati. So he's standing in the queue, and Srimati is coming with the garland. You know, one, not so good, goes to the next one, not so good. When she comes in front of Narada, all of a sudden, she spurts out in laughter. She starts laughing at him, thinking, you know, Narada gets confused. I'm looking like Hari, and why is she starting to laugh? She should immediately put that garland on my neck, you know? So he gets bewildered anyways, and suddenly the whole assembly starts laughing at him. So he gets completely dejected, and he sees there's something wrong for sure. So he runs out of that assembly, and nearby he sees his reflection in the lake. And he never checked the form that Narayan had given him. So when he looked into this lake, he saw that he had a face of a monkey. Huh? Monkeys are known, especially in Vrindavan, to take away. Very easily they'll steal things. Huh? So Hari also is a name for a monkey. And Narayan was requested, can I have the form of Hari for a day? And he gave Narada that form. So anyways, he gets very angry at Vishnu, and he curses him. If I remember correctly, he curses Vishnu that one day it will be this very form you will be depending on to help you out. Huh? You will be dependent on this form. So easily you made fun of me, you know, by making me a monkey, but this form will be your last resort. So that is Hanuman and all the other Vanaras. Ram is helped by a monkey army to deliver or to save Sita from the clutches of Ravana. So, Amangala Hare, for a devotee, Krishna takes away all inauspiciousness. For a Narada to think of getting married was not a very good thing. And therefore, Vishnu, he played in such a way that he took away this desire, even at the cost of being cursed. And similarly, Bari Maharaj has also been deprived of all his opulence. But, prema diya hareman. What does Vishnu give in return? You know, it's very easy to criticize him saying, oh, he takes away. But what is it that he gives in return? Prema diya hareman. He gives love of himself. Narada, Srila Prabhupada, in his, you know, struggles in India with Allahabad and then losing his factory and losing his wife, he's simply on his journey back to Delhi and he's laughing because he sees that Krishna has taken everything away from me and giving me the most auspicious path of the goal of life. So there's other things, but we're running out of time. So, well, we've run out of time. So I just like to once again seek the blessings of all the devotees so I can practice these things in my life as well and improve and try to purify my heart so I can take shelter of the devotees and Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. If there is any corrections or criticisms or questions, then please feel free.